What's up, everybody? Patrick McFarlane here. Welcome to another episode of Sonic Insurgency. I believe this one is episode 4, and I don't remember because it's been a really long time since I've released a new episode. Lots of stuff going on in my life, lots of projects burning, lots of sticks in the fire, as it were. I believe this one is episode 4, like I said. No, episode 5. So in this one, we're going to be talking about some lyrics, taking kind of a different approach to things. And I wanted to compare two different bands that I really enjoyed the lyrics of. And the styles are totally different. So we're going to be talking about that quite a bit. But the bands that we're going to be talking about are Pig Destroyer, which is a grindcore band from Virginia, I believe, and the Black Dahlia Murder, which is a band, I believe, from Flint, Michigan. And Black Dahlia Murder has kind of become like a titan of the death metal scene because they've released just killer release after killer release. They're turning into kind of a band like Cannibal Corpse, where they just have a really, really long catalog of really good content. And their albums are great. Every time they release something, it's kind of the darling of the music review world. And they're just really good at it. But we're going to be reviewing their first album because I think that Trevor Sternad, their vocalist, is just an incredible lyricist. And I don't think that he gets as much credit as he deserves on the lyric front, because he is a really accomplished vocalist and he does get credit for his vocal delivery and his style and the fact that he has a very unique voice. But there's so many things that Black Dahlia Murder does well. Their soloing, just the speed and technical ability that they have. Their drummer is really good. Alan Cassidy, I believe, he's kind of a somewhat newer addition to the band, like 5 or 6 years old now, I think. And they're just incredible musicians, and they deserve all the praise that they get, in my opinion. But we're going to be talking about their first album because it has some, maybe their first and their second album, their first and second full length, because they have second song, Funeral Thirst, is been a song that I've enjoyed listening to for a really long time. And I think the lyrics on it just are really special to me for some reason. And the other band that we're going to be talking about is Pig Destroyer. And they're one of the greatest grindcore bands that are currently releasing music. I think that there's a famous reviewer, Axel Rosenbaum or something. I can't remember his name. He's on like Metal Sucks. And he is known for just gushing all over Pig Destroyer and their first album. And he Prowler in the Yard, and he just talks about how much he loves it all the time. And I'm just going to look it up quick to see, make sure that I know who his, what his name is. Yeah, it is Axel Rosenberg. So, yeah, he really, 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 really likes this album. And that's because it's incredible, Prowler in the Yard. But we're not going to be talking about Prowler in the Yard. We're going to be talking about Bookburner. Sorry. 2012 release, Bookburner. And one of my favorite lyrics on there. And so, again, the reason why I picked these two is because their vocal or the lyrical styles are completely different. And we'll start off with Unhallowed by Black Dahlia Murder. And this is the album cover you can see on the screen, Unhallowed. It's their first full length. And one of the reasons I love it so much, love the lyrical content so much, is because it's very like Victorian and classic horror in its structure. And Funeral Thirst really portrays a lot of this. And it really does remind me of like kind of a Stephen King. I mean, the whole concept of it is that it's told from the point of view of a zombie who's being reanimated. And the zombie is humanized in a way that really kind of touches, I don't know, it touches the emotional chords. The genius annotation says, Funeral Thirst is about a corpse being reanimated as a zombie. Awakening in the coffin after being buried, the zombie breaks itself out of the coffin and begins to roam the earth in search of flesh. Now, that's a very, very shallow kind of summation of what this song is because, well, we'll just dive into the lyrics. So the first lyric is, "The brightest full moonlight entrances me. It calls me forth, yet I have not the strength to move. In stasis, I rot away and dream. I dream of forgotten years and dream of the touch of another's hand." And I think that, I don't know, the brutality of this song and how awesome the song itself is, it covers how sentimental these lyrics are. And sometimes when I read it, it almost like chokes me up a bit. And like, to be fair, it's not, I don't know, it's not like Tennyson. It's not something that is like a classic of Victorian poetry. But I think it harkens back to that, and it's very gothic in its presentation and the way that you read it. But this is a dead person thinking sentimentally about their life. And I think that's not anything that's ever presented in a zombie flick ever. Like I've never seen anything like this in a way. It's like, I know the Black Dahlia Murder really loved the comic books. And in fact, one of their music videos was, I think, from Creepshow. It was like a play on Creepshow where, Creepshow and these comic books are known for having certain they're known for having certain like short stories and for it being campy and stuff like that. Well, Creepshow was in the music video, they did a play on it where one of the guitarists is buried in the sand as the tide comes in, and that's kind of like a play on I think Creepshow, one of the Creepshow movies. But so to continue on, "I am to be a meal of starved worms. My nerves are twisting for the light of my salvation. I rest beneath where I remain as cold as clay. Eternal pain is swelling in my joints." And that's kind of a play on Return of the Living Dead, that 80s movie, because it was the first one to kind of popularize this idea that zombies are starving for brains specifically. And the reason they're starving for brains is because it hurts to be dead. So Return of the Living Dead is really awesome. But there's a play on it here. "Somewhere within me, a flame is slowly born. Inside this shell of bloated flesh grows life anew. Infernal, the moon distorts my mind. My veins jolt back to life, pushing the fluids of the damned." And I love the imagery that he puts in here. "I seek to bathe my faded flesh in crimson spray. My body writhes without consent of conscience. I lift the lid. The pounds of dirt shall not subdue. I shall walk the earth once more. From beyond, the strings are pulled. I know not what has made me this way. The animation of my rigid corpse. I shall abandon my coffin of premature fate." I always heard this as "the animation of my rigid form." And I kind of like that better than "the animation of my rigid corpse," because I think it's a more eloquent and less straightforward way of saying the same thing. But anyways, "I shall abandon my coffin of premature fate. All the words of the preacher, all the tears of my family in vain. I shall again walk amongst them. My penance with blood be repaid." And I think that's cool because he's talking about how, you know, maybe before he died, he was penitent. I think that's the word. He paid penance for his sins, but now he's saying he's going to repay his penance with blood. And I think that's really cool. It's kind of like it's a cool inversion of like normality of this, the sanctity of being dead and dying, and Christianity, you know, you repent your sins, but then doing some kind of an holy inversion of that. And that goes along with the title of the album, Unhallowed. So next, "my dead hand grasps for the still night air. I am now free to maim. There cannot be a God, for he would not forgive this despicable and human monster, rotten, twisted, and deformed. I am now a tool of my unholy instinct, entrails strewn at my bidding, a mockery of all I was." I love that line. "A mockery of all I was. I seek to bathe my faded flesh in crimson spray. My body writhes without consent of conscience. I lift the lid, the pounds of dirt shall not subdue. I shall walk the earth once more. From beyond the strings are pulled. I know not what has made me this way. The animation of my rigid form. It's my addition. I shall abandon my coffin of premature fate. Anyways, it's all repeated from there. But yeah, I really thought that this is very Victorian. And I really appreciate that about Trevor Sternad. And this kind of continues on. There's some other songs on the album, but the one that really is very Victorian to me that is on this level is on the next album, Nocturnal. And the album is, or the song is called Death Mask Divine. And it's another one of my all-time favorite Black Dahlia Murder songs because the lyrics are just incredible. And there's a little background to it on Genius. Death Mask Divine was released in 2007 on the album Nocturnal by the Black Dahlia Murder. The song is based on the story of Carl Tanzler, a man who developed a morbid obsession with a woman that he loved. So maybe we can kind of research Carl Tanzler a little bit. Maybe he has a Wikipedia page we can just take a peek at. Yeah. Was a German-born radiology technologist at the Marine Hospital Service in Key West, Florida. Interesting. He developed an obsession for a young Cuban-American tuberculosis patient, Helen Milagro de Hoyos, that carried on well after her death. In 1933, after 2 years after her death, Tanzler removed Hoyo's body from its tomb and lived with the corpse at his home for 7 years until its discovery by Hoyo's relatives and authorities in 1940. Wow, that's awesome. He was born in Dresden. He wound up in Australia just prior to the outbreak of World War I. Interesting. Oh, here's a picture of it. Wow. Her body's encased in wax and plaster. That's cool. I actually didn't know this before recording, that this is what it was actually about. In some ways, it makes it a little less special to me, the song, because it's not something that he just made up. But maybe it's loosely based, just inspired by this story. But still cool nonetheless. So the lyrics are, removal of the eyes gives my heart a sudden chill. I preserve them in formaldehyde to gaze upon at will. How their greenish flecks befell me that starlit winter's night. I lost all that I ever was while locked within their sight. And you can see it's kind of a traditional poetry because I'm not counting the syllables or anything, but you can see he at least makes an effort to have each line rhyme. Removal of the eyes gives my heart a sudden chill. I preserve them in formaldehyde to gaze upon at will. That starlit winter's night, the next line, I lost all I ever was while locked within their sight. So those are rhyming stanzas. Before you sits a broken man, your fragile pinkish heart in hand. Peculiar how it can hurt so bad while love is only in the mind. I sew the gaping chest work. Each thread is made with love. The bosom where I would rest my face is covered with your blood. So these are close rhymes. They're not exact rhymes. So he abandons that from the first verse. But I sew the gaping chest work. I love that line. It's an incredible line. And I don't know if like chest work is a phrase that he made up or if something he stole from somewhere else. But I have stolen it because I love that. So the bridge says, no, this is not the end. You'll live on eternally. Oh, Lord, it's not the end. My secret you'll forever be. Verse 2, I interrupt this transformation, a familiar lust swelling in me. A long and soulful kiss, the shades are drawn, the living world can't see. The coil of entrails, how curious the smell, so pungent to my eager nostrils, hands further compelled. No, it's not the end. Forever you'll be in my arms. And the chorus is, I could never let you go, my darling, cold and blue. I wonder, are you dreaming still, spread-eagled, blood removed? I weave the sucking trocar beneath your bruising skin. Tonight I'll lay beside you, darling, in necromantic sin. And I think it was great because throughout the years when I would listen to this, you know, I'd go through a breakup or something like that, and I would think that that this song in particular is just some kind of like inverted, I don't know, horror movie version of a guy who had a breakup that was really bad, and he decided to do something to his ex-girlfriend or ex-lover. And it was just kind of a perverted, like, cautionary tale about that. And I know that this concept isn't old, right? There's a few of them, like Cold Ethel by Alice Cooper. Or I know that, Avenged Sevenfold had a song kind of like this. I'm not really a fan of Avenged Sevenfold, but some line about a heater and a corpse, like a heater to keep the corpse warm while you, was my printer going off, to keep your corpse, the corpse warm while you do untold things with it. And yeah, so there's another bridge. Pinned to the sheets like a prized butterfly, you're mine. I hear your voice so precious, echoing deeply inside. I did my best to love you while you did live and breathe. This tender taxidermy, trophy of the bereaved. So I love that song. It's just a great song. Love the lyrics to it. Very kind of gothic Victorian. And another one that's really good, another more popular one here is What a Horrible Night to Have a Curse. And Trevor Sternad has gone on all of his albums to tell stories like this. Just and one of the reasons why I'm so in love with Trevor Sternad's lyrics is that he's able to come in and come out and tell these stories kind of as if it was a comic book or something like that. And it's a perfect medium to do that. And I think in my own attempts at creative writing, it's been really hard to write a good short story in that comic book format, because a good short story is built out of character progression. And part of the problem is when you're writing a horror story just based off of a scene that you have in your head that's really cool, or imagery, or this comic book kind of perception. Like, I've written stories about, you know, a witch in the woods who like collects people and turns them into statues or taxidermied items that she can animate at will. And kind of the thing about it was that it was really hard to weave a character-driven narrative into that story when all you really have that you're going off of is an image in your mind. And Trevor Sternad, like in that Death Mask Divine, he has this ability to turn the character into someone who's somewhat sympathetic, and you get some of their motivations, but there's no real character progression through the poem or through the lyrics. And that's okay, because it's a song. You know, you have other tools with which to kind of demonstrate that. And moreover, it's a metal song. It's not, you know, this like deep story with a higher kind of meaning. It's pretty straightforward. Like, it is what you get. But the medium here is perfect for splashing those images up. And I think for taking like a comic book idea of what you would have like in a creep show or something like that, and just kind of painting these pictures. And What a Horrible Night to Have a Curse is also really good at doing that. This twisted, wretched place shadowed by the utmost darks of hell and dreams of black beyond the bounds of a withered witch's spell, where the doors surely are locked when the sun threatens to wane, where shamblers dwell in dim moonlight beyond the warmth of day. And it's very kind of Lovecraftian a bit, although Lovecraft, you know, he goes way further into this cosmic horror kind of thing. But this is kind of a bit more traditional. Liars line the roads at dawn, watchful eyes upon you held. Watchful eyes are upon you held. Sacred weapons to the sacred revealed to be unleashed in it's the council of hell. That's a typo on the website. Sacred weapons to the sacred revealed to be unleashed. It's the council of hell. Blood flows down the streets at night where wolves cry out for flesh. I don't know if that's kind of a play. Blood flows down the streets at night where wolves cry out for flesh, where a horrible curse taints the woodlands nearby with the forms of the walking dead. Unholy inversion of hope, twisting the faith of the meek into hate. driven insane by the Dark One to bring forth the foul biddings he speaks. The undead are among us. At dawn, they shrink back to their silken beds. I love that one. It's kind of like a vampire thing, it seems like. At dawn, they shrink back to their silken beds. They dance by night and drink the blood of a child's broken neck. His spires are growing taller still, their shadows spreading throughout the land, freeing the evils that sleep within the weaker minds of man. And I think that's a great line. Those two lines are awesome. And then the imagery of drink the blood of a child's broken neck. It's not just that they're biting, you know, that they're biting a child's neck. It's that they've broken it to the point where blood is coming out of it. Subtle kind of tricks that he does that make it more unique and make it more repulsive in its imagery. And you can just see that What a Horrible Night to Have a Curse seems like it is the album cover here for Nocturnal, very famous album cover. This must be the castle when he says his spires are growing taller still. Seems like Cirith Ungol or something from Lord of the Rings. So, just trying to find where I was. Freeing the evils that sleep within the weaker minds of man. Into the tower never go, the horrors multiply. The gears can mince the strongest ones, leaving heroes paralyzed. The rivers flow with poison, the sand swallow you whole. The ghouls that roam this darkened wood are thirsting for your throat. Unholy inversion of hope. And it just repeats from there. So found it really interesting. And again, it's traditional. It's gothic horror, but it's done in a way that is kind of fresh feeling. And I just think it's great. I really, really enjoy Trevor Sternad and his lyrics. Although there's some more recent stuff that I haven't liked quite as much. I'll just give like a little taste of what I'm talking about. But it was Raped in Hatred with Vines of Thorn was off a newer album. And I don't know if it was Nightbringers or Everblack. But I just didn't like it. I don't like it when people do this thing where they try to invert sentences by putting a comma in it and kind of stating it backwards. And it just, this title and this song seemed too clunky to me. Raped in Hatred by Vines of Thorn. And I didn't know if he was, I mean, obviously it's an Evil Dead kind of homage, but I didn't know what he was really trying to do with it. Raped in Hatred by Vines of Thorn. It's this backwardsly worded thing that I just don't really appreciate very much. But dense, dark forest, dismal fog, a spectral force perverts these woods. Flights prevail, frantic escape, the unearthly horrors at each turn they wait. Wandering roots, they creak and move, slithering towards that mortal life, what mortal life intrudes. Terrified eyes open wide and snare her flailing limbs to the earth they're tightly tied. Raped in hatred by vines of thorn, by the evil dead to ribbons ripped and torn. Flora possessed, suckling the gore. That's all right. That's pretty good. But I just didn't really, I don't know. The caliber of these lyrics in this song just is not the same. And Everblack is not my favorite Black Dahlia Murder album. Just doesn't hit the same to me. So that's just my feeling about that. It was a lot better on Unhallowed and Nocturnal, just in my opinion. So, and okay, so I've tried to emulate this. I've tried to emulate Trevor Sternad's stuff in that more traditional gothic horror style. I've tried to write short stories because I don't know if I've said this, but I when I was an undergrad, I tried to major. Well, I did major. I didn't try to. I majored in creative writing, and that was my focus. And yeah, I tried to emulate this kind of stuff in my writing during that time. And it was hard because it's hard. You got to be good to craft a character-driven story out of an image in your head, because the story has to be about the character struggle and the character overcoming something. And not just about a certain scenario. So next, I wanted to talk about Book Burner by Pig Destroyer. And this is the first album that I listened to by Pig Destroyer. And I remember, I think I was on my study abroad in Germany when I first discovered these guys. And I just fell in love with Pig Destroyer. I mean, I'd been a fan of Napalm Death for a long time. And Napalm Death was my favorite grindcore band for a long time. And then Pig Destroyer came along. And of course, they're good in different ways. But I am so in love with Pig Destroyer's lyrics and what I think R.J. Hayes, yeah, R.J. Hayes is the lead singer of Pig Destroyer. And this is actually a really interesting article that I just found where R.J. Hayes is ranking his favorite albums of theirs from worst to best. And he says Explosions in Ward 6 is the worst. And Book Burner is number 4. So it's his second least favorite album. I think that's crazy. And his first favorite is Terrifier. Second is Prowler in the Yard. Third is Phantom Limb. Fourth, Book Burner. And fifth, Explosions in Ward 6. And I don't know. I really love them all. But what really made me fall in love with Pig Destroyer was R.J. Hayes' lyrics. And they are just incredible. Like, I've since completely copied the style and tried to make it my own. And I'll share, for what it's worth, I'll share some poems that I've recently written trying to emulate his style. I have some better ones, but I couldn't find them. But my all-time favorite song, lyrics, is Sis, the first song off of Pig Destroyer. And there's a sample in the beginning. And when I first started listening to Pig Destroyer, I listened to this album, and the sample in the beginning, there's like an old-timey voice that comes out like, dangerously angry one minute, rocking and rolling the next. And then all of a sudden the band just hits in with like R.J. Hayes just screams, and like it really takes off. And I don't know, maybe I can... I don't know if I can get away with playing it. Maybe I can. Maybe Spotify is going to strike me. But I don't give a shit because I only have like a couple of albums on here. Pig Destroyer, Sis. It's just the greatest thing ever. This fucking song. Let's see if I can. The sample's incredible. I mean, it's just... All right, let's go. See how this works.
Dangerously angry one minute, rocking and rolling the next.
So it just kind of hits you like a wave. I mean, it's really quick. And if you've never heard Pig Destroyer before, it's just like, it's incredible.
Dangerously angry one minute.
So, yeah, it's just great. And R.J. Hay has this like bark of a voice that reminds me of, if you've ever seen the Dead Poets Society, I think it's Walt Whitman who says like a barbaric yop or something like that. Yeah, barbaric yop. And that's a Whitman quote. But I think that R.J. Hayes, that's how I would describe his vocal delivery. It's just incredible. Okay, but the lyrics here, I love what they do, like in true grind fashion. The songs are only like 30 seconds long. They're really short, and so are the lyrics. But just the picture and the complete story that he's able to tell with just three stanzas is, and I love every word of it. And I love the fact that it doesn't conform to any kind of... it doesn't conform to any kind of structure. And traditionally poetry is kind of, you know, when you go and you learn about Shakespeare, everything has its like accented syllables, and the syllables are all counted, and the couplets are rhyming and things like that. Well, this is grindcore lyrics. Like, grind breaks all the rules, super short songs, punchy. It has a groove to it. It's fast as possible. Screaming, abrasive to the ears kind of thing. Like, it's so punk, but metal at the same time. I mean, that's kind of how it came to be. But it just rejects all kind of structure and traditional whatevers. And so here's my favorite song, like lyrically my favorite song of all time. My sister's dangerous. She climbs the barbed wire fence, changes clothes in the back seat, medical gown to red jeans. I can tell she's off her meds because she's grinning like a death's head, like a slit wrist angel. The asylum lights up as we pull away. The doctors don't get it. My sister can't be kept in a cage. So cool. I mean, just incredible. Like, I've been in love with this song for so long in the lyrics in it. And it just, it keeps going and going. And all the other albums that Pig Destroyer does, they're just like that. And the caliber is so good, too. Here's some politics for you, since sometimes I cover that. The next song, it rolls right into it, The American's Head. Pro-death, anti-cop, terror on the screen, Agent Orange, everything green. The front page says the news is dead. The sword removes the American's head. Morality destroyed. You're only free in the void. So, not my favorite one, but I think it's great because that line, the sword removes the American's head. I'm sure that is like an ISIS reference or something like that. But the underground man is cool because I think the underground man is like a Nietzsche thing. And it has, I'm sure, certain connotations or like certain lyrical or artistic reference in it. The third song, The Underground Man, two stanzas. I used to have a family. I used to be sane. Now I walk through the sewers, a virus in the earth's veins. The rats are my companions. The roaches are my food. I'm underneath you. I'm the underground man. And it's like R.J. Hayes has these characters that he crafts throughout his songs. And these imageries that he can make in these short stories, these short artistic kind of surrealist visions that he paints. And another really good one, let's see. Permanent Funeral is a really good song. Permanent Funeral, track 19 on Book Burner. Deep inside, I'm just a wolf trying to walk upright. The moth flew into the white light. The girl takes the flag from the gravesite. Unrequited love kills, spawns black blood cells. The dark cradles mystery. The light ruins everything. You know it's true. You know it's true. The light ruins everything. Let's see. Another one of my favorites is off Headcage. Headcage is a great album, too. You know, I really like Dark Train, the second track off of it. The lyrics are really good because it reminds me of myself. I've seen oceans part, worlds collide. None of it leaves me satisfied. What do I do? What do I hope to find? If I were immortal and impervious to pain, I'd still find a reason to complain. I see the wonders. I'm not blind. I've just got a one-track mind that serves a dark train. And I think that's incredible. I mean, it's about depression, it seems like, and someone who's an eternal pessimist, that you can have all these material things or you can have the success in life, but it's never enough. And it's not something that you can control. And I think it's great because it's relatable in my life, and I'm sure it's relatable in a lot of people's lives. Another one that I really, really like is, trying to remember which one. Concrete Beast is a good one because I think it's the Federal Reserve is what they're singing about. This shouldn't exist, and yet here it stands. The lives it's cost, the energy it demands, the Concrete Beast. And if you look at a picture of the Federal Reserve, it's a big concrete building. So I like to think that they're talking about the Fed. Oops. The Concrete Beast has devoured the land, vandalized the rubble, crooked catwalk, slopes hard to the right. There's no windows in the unknown, architect's design. If you could only see the view from the balcony like a flood of bricks and steel, buildings fused together, impossible architecture. And let's see what the one that I like. Maybe it's the torture fields. Yeah, I love this one. Okay. I ride a cockroach down your streets of trash, baptized in shadow and born in a car crash. I'm headed down to the place where they beg for the blade, where the ground weeps blood, where the sky cries in pain. In the distance, I swear I can hear the thumbscrews turn in the torture fields. The thrill of violence is what I seek, the sweet tension and release. When I close my eyes, it's like I can feel the countess crack the whip in the torture fields. Hail the wrong, praise the obscene, death upon its skeletal steed. Into the fields I step, lit by mounds of burning flesh. So that's fun. Prowler in the Yard has a lot of really good lyrics, too. A lot of people know Jennifer. It's the intro at the beginning where this like robotic, this robotic voice, kind of like Radiohead, had that track. They had one where it was like fitter, happier, more productive, and I like to think that this is kind of a play on that, like an inversion of it. Jennifer wrestled her friend playfully to the ground in front of the snow cone stand and began licking at the girl's eyeballs as if they were sugar cubes. Their bodies convulsed and flailed with an almost seizure-like intensity, at times their pale limbs seeming to shift back and forth from one torso to the other. A crowd gathered almost immediately to watch these two girls tie and untie their bodies like a pair of pit vipers. They were confused or concerned or shocked or aroused or all of the above, but no one dared interfere with the performance. Jennifer's long ashen hair hung down, concealing the girl's face like a curtain around a hospital bed. I love that. I love that. No one had any idea that the girl's eyes were eroding under her ruby tongue. "This is disgusting. It's pornography," exclaimed a pasty, slug-like woman in a fur coat, vanilla ice cream smeared across her double chin like a money shot. Countered a balding professor type in his mid-40s, his left hand stuffed crassly down the front of his pants. "No, no, no. This is beautiful. This is art." And then there's an outro to the album that kind of continues off that. Here's a really good one. Mapplethorpe Gray. Androgynous we are, ancient statues deformed in desert winds. Dead children play in Mapplethorpe Gray. Midnight orgies at the school for the blind. Learn to feel all over again. My name is anonymous. I taste like everyone. Medication blurs the last 5%. And on some of them, you're just like, what the hell is this talking about? And that's kind of why I love it. What's the other one? Hyperviolet is a favorite of ours. Traced in a wet sand, her name in perfect cursive. A love letter to the crescent moon. By tomorrow, it will be gone, I told her. There is no tomorrow, she said. I can feel her in a bikini of coiled snakes dancing into the hiss of the wind. Postcards from a paradise in flames. She used to be so right about everything. So all this imagery, I think the best thing about Pig Destroyer's lyrics is the imagery. And this, I don't know, like, Cattle Decapitation did this too. They have a song called Tooth Enamel and Concrete. And the imagery of those words and the feeling that it gives you, I think is really, really something. It's the best about words, the best use of words. And another really favorite one of mine is Girl in the Slayer Jacket. It's a little bit, it's pretty long for a Pig Destroyer song, lyrically. And in general, because it's like 3 minutes and 3.5 minutes long. The girl in the Slayer jacket gave me my first kiss when I was in the seventh grade. She used to smoke weed with my older sister in the woods behind the arcade. She had thick skin, but if you cut her, the wound would bleed forever. She would bleed forever. She hung herself from an overpass down in McLean. where the old trees loom. Her parents tried to sue Slayer, they blamed her. Her parents tried to sue Slayer, they blamed her boyfriend and PCP. But the truth is her eyes had been dead since she was 5. She just hadn't disposed of her body. So, some powerful shit. Yeah. Awesome. So, I've written some stuff on my Substack if you want to subscribe to it. I think I'm going to keep going with it. But I wrote a couple poems, and I kind of wanted them to be ambiguous, but this one that I wrote was so obviously about Yemen that, I mean, it wasn't. And it's not, I mean, the poem itself, the contents of it aren't incredibly, like, accurate to exactly what's happening in Yemen. But, you know, pick your U.S. intervention gone wrong. Well, I repeat myself. But I call this one Starvation Campaign. It goes, pot-bellied children, stick thin, teeth protruding like yellowed piano keys. They lounge in the gutter, unable to move, their pixelated forms captured in infrared. We pull apart their jaws and climb in, boots first. We flay their world open and drink its sweet milk. It drips of sin and suffering. And so that was kind of my take on, I've tried to emulate the Pig Destroyer style throughout the years, and that was kind of my take. I started trying to write poetry before I go to sleep as kind of like a calming exercise, like a mindfulness kind of thing. Here's another one I wrote, and I called it The Host, although there's a movie called The Host, and I don't know if I wanted to rip it off, but so this one goes, the signal in my head, it buzzes in codes and keys, like bionic bot flies burrowing, lapping at the host, eating ones and zeros. I'm a geometric grid of honey holes and black eyes that gleam in the night when they wriggle about and feed. I itch to the bone to extricate them. There's pulp beneath my nails like red clay at the river where we used to play. I'm not myself. Save me. So I wanted that to kind of be like, I don't know, a technocratic situation where Elon Musk's Neuralink has been forcibly installed in everyone and people's thoughts are controlled, but they are conscious of it. And so I tried to create the imagery for that using the idea of like a mechanical bug that, like a mechanical bot fly or something that's burrowing into your skin, eating ones and zeros. So, yeah, well, I'm going to call it there. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Sonic Insurgency. I don't really get to do this too often because, frankly, not a whole lot of people listen to this podcast. And there's so many other projects that I have spinning all the time. So, yeah, well, if you enjoy this, please let me know. Please share it about. Tell me what you think about these bands and what you think about my analysis of their lyrics and all that good stuff. Thanks a lot. Share, subscribe, like, rate, review, all that shit. Thanks.